This week's message is titled Gospel and Righteousness, the Same Yet Different. The scripture reading is Romans 1:14-17. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Good morning, everyone. Delighted to have you with us today, and appreciate so many of you who travel distances to be with us. We're really very grateful that you do that for us. A number of years ago, we decided that we would put somewhat of a motto to our church. And it's a very basic, simple one, but a very good one, I think. Love God, love each other, and serve the world. One of the ways that we love God is coming together to worship, to love each other. We ask people to be involved with other people in the congregation, whether it be through a Bible study, a small group, or whatever, and we have a variety of those. And they're just loving the world. And it's unique that we have a congregation here in Beamsville where many of us travel from our own villages and community. And we hope that we can be good examples and set speak the gospel through our lives and share with their neighbors. So we're delighted to have you with us. We're very grateful that you are here. We don't do this as often as probably we should, but let's just take a moment to stand up where we are, to say good morning to one another, and especially if you don't know someone, to introduce yourself. Let's go ahead and do that. Thank you for being with us this morning. Glad you are here. For a number of weeks now, we've been in the book of Romans in chapter 1. I was reflecting back, I think it was 1978. I'm not great with the exact dates. I was attending a Bible college in Ohio, and many of our classes would be in the church building. And so from Monday to Friday, we were actively involved in learning and teaching and so forth. And then on Sunday, I would drive from Ohio to Indiana, not very long, about an hour, I guess, and preach for the church there. And what's interesting to me is that the church building in Ohio and the church building in Indiana looked very much alike. It had their name across the building, of course, Church of Christ in Ohio and Church of Christ in Indiana. And from all intents and purposes, they were very much the same, because if you went to a worship service in Ohio or went to a worship service in Indiana where I was, it would be very similar to how we conduct a worship service. There was somebody who would welcome everyone. Typically, there would be a song, maybe two songs, a prayer, another song, communion, another song, and then the minister would preach, and then there would be a final song, a prayer, and a dismissal. Come back for the evening worship. And that's pretty much the experience that those two churches went through. Everything looked alike. Everything seemed alike. But they couldn't be more different. Because when you left one of the church buildings, there was this feeling of, what a family of Christ. So grateful for our salvation in Christ. And the other one, when you left the building, was, you better do this right. There was some type of a threat attached to the message. You better get it right. And so, in one experience, you felt this great joy throughout the week. With the other experience, there was this dark cloud seemingly upon us all week long of, you better do it right, you better think right, you better get it right, you better do else, or else, or else, or else. When I read Romans chapter 1, I'm sure there were people who felt one way or the other. So the Apostle Paul is wanting to, and constantly in his letters, he's wanting to comfort people, sometimes confront people who had a heavy hand on other people, Paul is wanting to say there is one gospel. The gospel is for all. That gospel has come to set us free. Because the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, and what that means to each one of us. So when we have communion, we take the bread, we take the cup, it's a reminder of Christ himself, his death, his shed blood for our sins, and that's what Good Friday is all about. In fact, that's what our life is all about, that he gave his life for us to live. And so when Paul says in Romans chapter 1, and we've been looking at this now for a while, in verses 16 and 17, he says this, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness," meaning being right with God, "a righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith." We believe this from first to last, Jew to Gentile. "Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith." Not a threatening faith, not a condemning faith, but a joyful faith. So maybe we could read Romans 1:16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel" this way. "I'm not embarrassed by the gospel." So this is where now, even though we're together in a room with one another, where I would ask each one of us to ask ourselves this very question. What am I in regard to the gospel? How do I feel about the gospel? Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not embarrassed by the gospel. I'm not afraid of the gospel. I'm not threatened by the gospel." Let me ask you, where are you when it comes to the gospel? Now, the gospel, Paul states very clearly, is specific. Sometimes one might say, well, this is the gospel truth, meaning there's some force behind this. We believe it to be true. But the gospel is very specific. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel throughout his letters. In 1 Corinthians, he tells us what the gospel is. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel, which you have believed and what you believe in now. I want you to believe in this gospel. I remind you of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He talks about his death and his burial and his resurrection. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel, which you have believed and which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to these things that you have believed. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, appearing to many, according to the scriptures. And I'm not ashamed of it," Paul says. "I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not embarrassed by that. I'm not threatened by that, because this gospel invites all of us to come to be part of him." So when the gospel is first preached, it comes after the death of Jesus. Although Jesus made it very clear while he was alive what he wanted to have preached. And he says to all those who are listening, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. Those that believe and baptize will be saved." Mark 16:16 says the same thing. To a group of disciples who've been following Jesus for 3 years, they don't want Jesus to leave. Jesus is about to leave, and he reminds them to believe. Don't stop believing. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Don't go and preach the gospel if you don't believe in the gospel. Don't share your Christian faith if you really don't have a Christian faith. Meaning, I know this is important, But I'd rather tell you about it than really live it. Because the gospel is a very personal, spiritually intimate relationship that we have with Christ himself. And our baptism is an expression of joy and acceptance in Christ. And all throughout the New Testament, there are these reminders. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel, which I preached to you, which you believe, on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved. If you hold firmly to those things, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for us and came back for us, lives for us. So go into all the world. All authority, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go and preach the gospel. Or in Colossians 2 and 12, in baptism, he says, you were buried with him and raised with him through your faith in the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Saying all that to say this. Would you ever give up your eternal salvation if it meant that another person would be saved? Probably one of the most difficult questions ever to be asked. How do we answer? Would you ever give up your salvation if it meant that someone else would be saved? Someone says, what's this all about? Well, Paul talks about this in the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, as you know, Paul has said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation. But I would be willing to give it up. I would be willing to give it up. Someone says, well, where? Notice with me, if you want to, this amazing passage in Romans chapter 9. And this is one of the unique parts of the gospel. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Romans 9, 1 through 5. Here's what Paul says. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. Paul said, I would give up my salvation if it meant that my people would come to Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks some more about this, starting in verse 19. He says this, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, as to win those under the law, meaning those who dedicated themselves to the Old Testament Ten Commandments, to all the rules, to all the regulations. If they thought that was the way to get to Christ, Paul said, I'll help them, but they need to know Christ. If you want to follow all those laws, go ahead, but it's going to lead you to Christ. And then he says, verse 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those having it. In other words, those who want to stay strong in that or those who enjoy freedom in Christ. No matter what, I want to preach the gospel. Then he says this, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I'm so grateful Paul said that. Because I think there are times in all of our lives when we don't feel as strong in our faith as we'd like. Maybe there are occasions when we feel weak. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not embarrassed by the gospel. We're not afraid of the gospel. But maybe we don't really concentrate so much on who Jesus is in our life. I have become all things to all people so that by all means possible, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its glory and blessings. So my question for all of us, as Paul talks about this from the beginning of this book, it's a deep book, the book of Romans. It's a joyful book. It's not a threatening book, but it's a reminder of the expense that was paid so that we can enjoy the gospel. Not just the expense of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for us, but all the people like Paul and others who are dedicating their lives, sharing to people, no matter their culture, this is righteous. This is good. Righteous means being right with God. So when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm not embarrassed by the gospel, I'm not afraid of the gospel, I'm not threatened by the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to me, to you, and everyone else, to the Jew and to the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. And yes, Paul said, I would give up my salvation if it meant that my people would be saved. Would you, under any circumstance, give up your salvation if it meant that someone you know and love would be saved? I think for many of us, we'd say, absolutely. Don, really? You would give up your own salvation if it meant someone else would be saved? Absolutely. And you know who I'm talking about. There are people in your life that you love more than you love yourself. Would you give up your salvation if it meant your son would be saved? Your daughter would be saved? Your husband would be saved? Your wife would be saved? The friend that you love most would be saved? Yeah. You know what's unique about that? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. But would you give up your life for Jesus? I'd give up my life so that everyone could be saved. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not threatened by it. And I'm not afraid by it. Because Christ has given himself to us. Not just what we know, not just the religious facts, not just the things that are incorporated all throughout the scripture, but because we can know him. How do you feel about the gospel? So I go back to the beginning. Attending a school all week long, attending that church, preaching for a church, same gospel being preached. One had some fear attached to it. One had some joy attached to it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't know how anybody else is feeling, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation for all who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. It's for all of us. And then Paul talks about the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, all for us. I hope that as we continue on, some in the book of Romans, we can go deeper into this. It's an intellectual book, but more than anything else, it is deeply personal and emotional. Paul says, I'm going to tell you what the gospel is, and I'm going to tell you what righteousness is, and it has everything to do with Christ. Yep. Yep. I would give it up if it meant that someone else would be saved. That's what Jesus did for us. I gave it up. I gave up my life so that someone else, 2,000 years, would let. 2,000 years later, here we are. And Jesus gave himself up for us. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll never be ashamed of it. We can be thankful and grateful and share the gospel as best we can. Let's pray. Father God, we are beyond grateful for you reminding us how much you love us, that you gave yourself for us, to us. May we, as your people who love you so much as well and love one another, may we enjoy our faith. May we share our faith with others. May we be so willing to give up our own lives for the sake of others, knowing that we probably will never have to do that, but to share the gospel, the righteousness that we have because of you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.